Today, we're joined by members of the Las Cruces City Vaccine Task Force and state officials to talk about ongoing vaccination efforts in Las Cruces and around the state.
The community vaccination sites, which we're launching here, are very effective.
It's tedious. This is something we've never done before.
The initial part of phase 1B, which are individuals 75 years or age or older, we will then move to individuals who are 16 or older with underlying medical conditions, followed by frontline essential workers and vulnerable populations.
Unfortunately, with the quick rollout of the vaccine, for our first one, we had about 4 days to plan it. This is all volunteer-based at over 75 volunteers for each vaccination pod.
We'll begin right after NPR News, and your questions are welcome at 575-646-2212. For Voice of the Public, next from KRWG Public Media. Good afternoon and welcome to Voice of the Public from KRWG Public Media. It's 106. This is Casey Counts. Very happy to be with you and very grateful to be joined this afternoon by members of the Las Cruces City Task Force for Vaccinations. We are joined by District 2 Counselor Tessa Abeta-Stuvey. Welcome to KRWG.
Thank you for having me.
And we are joined by Assistant City Manager Eric Enriquez. Welcome to Voice of the Public.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and thanks for having me.
And we also have Communications Director for the Department of Health, Matt Bieber, on the show this afternoon. Welcome, Matt.
Thanks so much, Casey.
And State Workforce Solutions Secretary Bill McKinley joining us again to help us wade through this very important topic. Welcome back to KRWG, Bill.
Good afternoon, Casey. Thank you so much for having me.
I want to start by saying that both Matt and Bill will be with us for the first half of the show today. So if you are listening in Truth or Consequences or in Silver City or Lordsburg or Deming and you want to know what's happening in your community, if you have questions that are geared more for a statewide level, now is the time to call and you can have Matt or Bill or both answer those questions for you. 575-646-2212 is the telephone number to call. Matt, let's begin with you. And why don't you tell us just what the big picture looks like right now regarding vaccine distribution around the state?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, New Mexico is doing very well. We are currently ranked third in the country. We're faster than 47 other states in getting vaccine into the state and then into the arms of our residents, which is great. In fact, what we've learned over the first 5 or 6 weeks of distribution is that our statewide system, including providers, healthcare professionals in every corner of the state and every community, are ready to handle a great deal more vaccine. And we're advocating for more from the federal government. And we hope to have more to announce very soon. I'll also say that we are currently in phase 1A. We're vaccinating folks in the healthcare worker category. We've also gone a bit beyond 1A, and we're now vaccinating folks who are 75 years or older, as well as folks who may have a pre-existing healthcare condition. And we're moving as expeditiously as we can through those groups.
You don't necessarily finish vaccinating one group before you move on to the next. How do you determine when it's time to open up that next group?
It's a great question, and you make an important point. We have to layer things in order to keep vaccine distribution moving smoothly. As you can imagine, the first 10% in any category are the most eager. They're easiest to reach, easiest to connect to, easiest to vaccinate. As you get a little higher into the category, 40th, 50th, 60th percent, folks are a little harder to reach. You have to do a little bit more work to get to them. And that's around about the point at which we begin to transition into the next phase. If I can go into the mechanics a little bit, the way this is working is, we've got three groups, the ones I just mentioned, who are eligible for vaccine right now. When folks register for vaccine on vaccinenm.org, and about 550,000 New Mexicans have done so thus far, you give us a little bit of information about yourself, your healthcare conditions, your employment status, your age, and that helps us figure out which phase you fall in. Once we know that, we can send out an invitation to a vaccine appointment in your area as soon as one's available. And the way we're doing that is by randomizing invitations in the eligible groups. The idea here is to make it as fair as possible. And on this point, it's worth pausing and lingering for just a moment. Even though New Mexico is doing very well in terms of getting vaccine into the state and out into New Mexicans' arms, we don't have as much as we'd like. The number of folks who are eligible right now number somewhere in the 800,000 range. So nearly half of the state's population is eligible for vaccine right now. We're getting 56,000 doses per week into the state. Now, if you divvy those up between primer and booster doses, we're basically able to include 28,000 new people into the registration and vaccination system per week. If you just run the numbers, you'll see it'll take us some time to get through the eligible groups before we're able to move on to additional groups. But I can promise you there are folks working night and day to make sure we do that as expeditiously as we can.
Secretary McCamley, what does distribution of the vaccine mean for New Mexico's workforce?
Yeah, thank you, Casey. And so I've been on your show at least a couple times during the past year to talk about the issues we've had, you know, with unemployment and where we're at with our economic situation as a state. And one thing that is crystal clear, and I believe I've mentioned over and over again, is that our programs from an economic perspective and unemployment are directly and intimately related with the health of the community. And so the more the virus spreads, the more people are in our hospitals, the more our healthcare folks are being overloaded, the more things have to be shut down. And the more we get control of the COVID situation, the more we're able to drive down the spread of the virus, and you're going to see more things start opening up. In fact, just this last week, you saw, I believe it was 7 counties around the state go from a red to yellow in our categories, which means you can actually have some in-person dining up to 25%, more patio dining, you can have more mass people in mass events, that sort of thing. And that allows, at the end of the day, more people to go back to work, right? So the thing you can do most to help our economy right now is to go to vaccinenm.org. Get your friends to go to vaccinenm.org. Get your family to go to vaccinenm.org. Sign up for the vaccine. We are very proud that the state is actually leading. Usually when you hear about New Mexico, I know the stereotype is we're always, you know, 45th to 50th in the good things. Well, we're in the top five in the good things. We're getting this out to folks. And as you see more vaccine being produced, we're very hopeful that the Biden administration is going to really start ramping this up and get more vaccine out to the states. The system is there. So if you get signed up, we can say with extreme confidence that our state officials are busting their tails to get as much out into people's arms as possible. I would also say for folks who have some issues with the vaccine, it's proven to be very safe. You know, have a few people with some allergic reactions. There's some folks on the second dose, especially, that get some side effects that go away within a day. My sister actually had that, and she was fine the next day. So please sign up at vaccinenm.org to get this thing. I promise that our state of health officials will do everything they can to get you in line. And that will help you get protected and will also help your community members do better so I can get people off the unemployment rolls and back to working.
I want to address a couple of questions that came in before we started the show today. It's 113-575-646-2212. We are talking about vaccine distribution in New Mexico and specifically in Las Cruces with members of the COVID vaccine task force here in Las Cruces as well. So please call with your questions and we'll get to a couple of these that came in advance of today's show. One is, and whoever wants to take the question, just raise your hand and I'll call on you. I'll be like the teacher in the classroom. When we get the notification for vaccine, will we be able to schedule for a few days out? In other words, how much lead time is there when you get the call? Matt?
Unfortunately, most folks don't have the opportunity to schedule right now. We're hoping to get there, and the registration site that we have certainly allows us to do that. But vaccine is scarce enough that we don't have the ability to offer folks multiple opportunities, multiple options at the moment. So it's a bit more of a take it or leave it option, and we certainly encourage folks to take it. We're doing our best to make this as convenient for people as possible. Occasionally there's a drive involved, but we know where folks live because they've given us their information. And the site is really sophisticated. It allows us to geo-target invitations to folks who live in a particular radius of a particular place. So if the Walmart in your town has vaccine, we can create an invitation to the folks in a 5-mile radius who are within the current eligibility criteria and get you there in a reasonable time frame. But it's a little bit tough to be any more specific than that you know, it could be, you know, that day or the next day. It could be a couple days out.
And the next,
Casey, let me just add one more thing on top of that.
Sure.
If you're an undocumented person, please sign up. There is zero interaction with federal law enforcement in terms of your information here. We live in a state where we believe all of our neighbors are parts of our community, are parts of our family. And that, frankly, not only is that morally good, but it's better when people get vaccinated. So your immigration status will not matter. So if you or anybody you know is concerned about that, please don't let that get in the way of signing up for a vaccine and getting that shot in the arm.
Something that we're hearing from communities all over the country and right down the street in El Paso is that because of the way the distribution is working in so many places with online registration and whatnot, that the most vulnerable of the populations in some cases are the ones that are not yet being able to get vaccinated. It might have to do with access to the internet, transportation, et cetera, et cetera. So how does the state address getting the vaccine to those who need it most? Matt?
It's a crucial question. Thanks for bringing it up. Well, we have a couple options. For folks who have access to a phone, we've got a call line, 855-600-3453. Again, 855-600-3453. Call that number, and when you do, press 0 and then 4. You'll be taken immediately to a call center staffed with 40 people, including Spanish speakers, that'll get you registered. The wait time is typically no longer than a minute and a half. And so that's one option that should help a number of folks. Now, I realize that not everybody has access to a phone. There are a variety of populations that need different kinds of support for getting registered and vaccinated. We're very conscious of that. That includes the homeless community. Sometimes it includes folks cycling in and out of prison. Sometimes it includes homebound seniors that need a different form of support. We actually began rolling out in-home vaccinations in Las Cruces a couple of weeks ago. We'll be expanding that around the state. We've got mobile units that are able to be a little more versatile out in rural areas and elsewhere around the state that can support folks. So by all means, please don't let your situation stand in the way of getting a vaccine. Reach out to us through any number of the channels that we have on offer, and we will connect you to vaccine.
And Casey, that's really why the system was set up like it was, where you got a lot of very, very smart people are saying, okay, who are the most vulnerable folks in our community to this? That's why you have those 1A, 1B groups, and why the state is doing that randomized basically draw on getting scheduled for a vaccine, so that we're not picking winners and losers. We're saying we have X amount of doses. Here are the people that we really think need this in terms of, you know, in that first group, obviously healthcare workers, people over the age of 75. But moving down, you're going to start seeing grocery store workers. You're going to start seeing teachers get on that list because we recognize the value of those folks. And the state's been pretty good sticking to that schedule, but that's why that system exists.
If I can underscore that point, the whole point of the phase system is we want to do the very most good we can with every dose we have. We want to save the most lives with every dose we have. And we know the folks that are in 1A, they're exposed to COVID every day at their jobs. We know the folks that have recently become eligible, the 75 plus group and the folks with comorbidities, with health conditions, those folks are actually at extraordinarily increased risk of disease and death through COVID. We want to make sure that they're protected as quickly as possible. Doing that protects all of us.
And we have a caller on the line holding with a question. Good afternoon, Donna. Thank you for calling Voice of the Public. Hi, Donna. Are you with us?
Hello.
Hi, Donna.
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, go ahead. We're ready to take your question.
Okay, I am 80 years old. I've signed up. I've done everything I know to do. When can I get vaccinated?
Go ahead, Matt.
Thank you very much for the call, ma'am. We are doing everything we can to get you vaccinated as quickly as we can. But as we were describing just a minute ago, there are a great many people who are eligible right now, and we unfortunately don't have enough vaccine for everybody. That's not in our control. That's up to the federal government and what they decide to send our way. We're asking for as much as we can. We're showing them that we're doing a great job of getting vaccine out. For somebody in your shoes, it could be very soon. It could be a matter of waiting a few more weeks. Again, we're doing that randomized draw to be as fair as we can to everybody. So I apologize for the wait you've had to go through so far, but we're going to get to you as quick as we possibly can.
And Casey, let me just also throw out, you know, we saw news this morning that there was some pretty decent results from the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and that they're going to be moving towards trying to get approved sometime soon. Whatever vaccine comes out, go ahead and get it, because we're going to get whatever doses we get in. And every one of these vaccines that's going to be approved by the CDC is going to be very, very effective. The more you get, the better it is for you and the better it is for the rest of your community. So hopefully, as these new vaccines start getting approved, our volume of shots that we can give goes up. And please just take that shot when you get that text or that email.
All right, Donna, you let us know when they contact you for your if you want to follow up with us. We're rooting for you to get that that email or that text very soon. Thank you for your call.
Well, I'm very patient, so I appreciate all of the help. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And 575-646-2212 if you have a question for our panel this afternoon on vaccine distribution in New Mexico. We have Barbara on the line with a question. Good afternoon, Barbara. Thank you for calling.
Hello.
Hi there. Go ahead with your question.
Hi. I am one of the unfortunate people who once had, in 1907 or 1998, a very serious reaction to a flu vaccine. I was actually teaching at Las Cruces High School at the time, and I had had in the past, not every year, but I had had two flu shots to which I had no reaction. But this time, it was extremely serious. I reported it to the CDC. I called the school to ask what the vaccine had been derived from, and they claimed it had to have been an allergic reaction, but I don't know. I never felt confident of that because it was a matter of my lungs continually filling up with mucus, and I could not expel it. I honestly thought I might die. I was wondering what y'all would say. I have decided that I probably should not get the vaccine, but it's not because I wouldn't like to. My second question is, is this kind of thing the kind of thing, if a person were going to, for example, I don't have any health conditions, I take one medication, but unfortunately it does suppress the immune system. It's for a skin condition. I don't have high blood pressure. I don't have high cholesterol. I'm about to turn 73 years old. But I was wondering, if I were to want to wear a medical bracelet that would tell my blood type and so forth, is COVID vaccination is something that people should start adding to medical jewelry like that? I was just wondering. And then my last question is, if I do not get the vaccine and herd immunity does come about, am I, pretty sure of not getting COVID once that happens? Or because I didn't get the vaccine, would I be still more vulnerable?
All right. Thank you. Matt, go ahead.
Well, thank you, ma'am, for the question. What I'll say to the first two is that I'm not a medical professional, and anytime there are questions or doubts, we always encourage folks to talk to their primary care physician, talk these questions through at length, somebody who knows you well and can sort through the complexities. To the final issue, one thing that's important to convey about herd immunity is that it's not a single magic number. It would be great if it were, because we'd know exactly the target we need to hit, and we'd know when we hit it, and everybody could smile and go home. But unfortunately, it isn't quite that simple. It's more like a range, and that range will vary based on your community and its profile, how dense your population is, et cetera, et cetera. I'd say broadly speaking, if your doctor gives you the go-ahead to get the vaccine, then you should, because you'll be more protected that way. But the more New Mexicans we get vaccinated overall, the more protected you'll be as we get toward that herd immunity stage.
And the next one was, I believe, should we put that information on our medical bracelets if we wear them? Would there be any reason to add that to the bracelet?
It sounds wise to me, but again, I think a more qualified medical professional would probably want to weigh in on that.
Absolutely, good luck, and definitely talk with your doctor. Thank you for calling today.
Thank you.
And next we have Kathleen holding with a question. Good afternoon, Kathleen. Thank you for calling Voice of the Public.
Hi. I have a question. I tried to register, and I think I've completed except for the medical. And I'm unable to complete that. Is there a place I can call that will...
Yes, and we have some audio coming through there. Your radio is just kind of echoing in the background. But 855-600-3453. And Matt, go ahead.
You've done everything right, ma'am. So if you've gone into the vaccinenm.org website, you've registered yourself, and you've filled out those five forms, which collectively take 5 or 10 minutes to fill out, you'll notice, as I think you did, that you can't fill out the medical questionnaire yet. And the reason for that is because you've got to fill that out on the day of your appointment. So you can't unlock it now, but as soon as you get an invitation and confirm your appointment, on the day of your appointment, you'll be able to fill that one out, and you need to, because your provider is going to need that information to make sure that vaccination's right for you on that day.
But I'm still sort of in line for a shot.
Absolutely. Yep, you haven't done anything wrong. You're as registered as you can possibly be.
I'm not very good on the internet. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathleen. And next is Retha. Welcome to Voice of the Public, Retha.
Okay, thank you so much.
Are you with us, Retha?
Yes.
Hi. What's your question?
I have a couple. In response to the one woman that called and asked about the timing of it, if your number comes up on that registration site, and you can't enter what date you want to, like, try to get vaccinated, be patient. It'll come back. They'll get you in there again. So the other thing I wanted to ask, was about the cancel, when people cancel or they don't come for their vaccine, those, how is it that we're not wasting those doses? I heard something on NPR about the doses.
Great question. Go ahead, Matt.
So we have a system in place where providers, there's a couple fail safes for what you just described. One is that providers have the capacity to invite additional people to fill appointments that don't look like they're going to be filled. And we support them and, in fact, send invitations on their behalf to do that. I can give you an example. There was a site in Albuquerque that was doing a lot of vaccinations each day. One day they had 100 no-shows, so we sent out 120 or so invitations and filled those all within a couple of hours. Each provider is also required to, I should say, is permitted to move out of the current subphase that they're in. And again, that's 1A plus 75 and older plus people with conditions. Providers are allowed to move just a little bit beyond that eligibility criteria if it means preventing vaccine from going bad. So that's the balance we're always trying to strike, of getting to everybody who's eligible and ensuring that no vaccine goes bad. And I'm really happy to report that except for one temperature storage issue on an airplane flight in mid-December, which cost us 75 doses, New Mexico has not wasted a single dose since that time.
And Casey, let me also just point out that at NMSU last week, I believe it was last week, they actually had this situation where they had a few extra doses, and they did, as Matt said, you know, there was some more invitations that went out through the system, but they still weren't filled up. So they allowed for a few other folks to come in, and they were able to use all those doses. So these systems are moving as efficiently and effectively as possible. And the thing is, look, if you get invited, please just go if you can.
And I know we just have a couple of minutes left with both Matt and Bill. So, Matt, I'd like to give you this opportunity before you head out just to leave us with some of your final thoughts in terms of what New Mexicans should expect over the next weeks and months.
Absolutely. Well, first, thank you for the chance to be here and answer questions. You know, this is going very well. We also acknowledge that it's not perfect. No system is. This system, this registration system that we have, is the first in the country like it. But we've made refinements along the way to the way this process works, thanks to the feedback of New Mexicans from across the state. So if something's not working for you, by all means, let us know, and we will work to refine the process. I will say, though, that broadly speaking, this is going very well for the vast majority of folks, and it means that we are moving faster than almost anywhere in the country toward herd immunity, which is, of course, the goal that we all seek. Thank you, Casey.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. The Communications Director for the Department of Health, Matt Bieber, and Secretary of Workforce Solutions, Bill McCamley.
Yeah, thank you, Casey. I'd just like to say one thing we didn't talk about so far was the effect on education. If you go to vaccinenm.org and get registered, you're not only going to be helping us be more healthy, you're not only going to be helping us open up the economy again, you're going to be helping us open up the schools faster. You know, I know teachers really want to get back in the classroom because a lot of this virtual learning is challenging, to say the least, right? But in order to do that, everyone's got to feel safe gathering in groups. So the more we can get vaccinated, the more we're going to help our kids get back into the classroom and get learning the way that they should be. And that's really important as well. And just want to let everybody know that the rollout is well, and it's okay to feel good about it. My mama got, she lives north of Mayfield in Cruces, and she got a notification last week. She's going to go get her shot on Tuesday, and she was just ecstatic. And so just please know it's okay to feel good about this. It's nice to know that there's some light at the end of this tunnel. I know for almost all the past year, things have been looking kind of rough, but please know that the state of New Mexico is really and truly doing everything we can to help us reach that light at the end of the tunnel faster. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon. It is 1:30, 575-646-2212, and we'll have the rest of the hour to talk specifically about the Las Cruces Vaccine Task Force, its formation, its goals, and how we're doing in the community of Las Cruces. Back to the phone, though, for a caller that's been holding. Nina, thank you for calling, and thanks for your patience. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
What's your question?
Last night, I am registered for the vaccine, and last night I got an email and a text telling me that I could schedule an appointment. I followed the instructions, went on the site, and unlike everyone else that I know, I was not given the date, day, or time. I was to select that off of the drop-down calendar. It did give the place was predetermined. Now, your speakers in the prior session said that at this point, the recipients cannot choose when to have the vaccine, but in fact, the site required me to pick the time, the day, date, and time. I believe it was an official invitation. It came from the DOH. It was, you know, via my profile and registration. So I'm just wondering what's the confusion there?
It looks like you got a follow-up, you're saying, from the time you registered, you were contacted again to then pick a time?
Yes.
Okay.
From a drop-down calendar.
Okay.
But no one else I know, everyone else I know has been told when and where.
All
they
right.
They had no choice. And your speakers just prior mm-hmm. said, at this point, New Mexicans have no choice. Mm-hmm. So what's going on?
Well, it sounds like things are evolving at a pretty fast pace, which I think they reflected earlier, in fact. And I'm not sure if either Councillor Abeita Stuvey or Mr. Enriquez could speak to that in terms of the process. Are you aware, mm-hmm. Tessa okay. or Eric, whether people are being followed up with in terms of what kind of choices they might have to sign up? Tessa?
Thank you. What I'll say with this process is that it is evolving and that there are adaptations. So if you are having those options, please make sure you are registering, you are signing up and following whatever date and time that they've given you to have your vaccine. And know that this is a ever evolving process. And each community might look slightly different depending on where they're at with their vaccination schedule. And Mr. Enriquez, anything extra to add to that?
Yeah, actually, that is the way the system is supposed to work. You are supposed to be able to get onto the drop-down calendar and pick the dates that are available. Here in Las Cruces, we have the convention center on Wednesday and Thursday and NMSU on Friday. And you should be able to choose the date and a time during the login when you get notified to apply for a schedule. Unfortunately, because it is new that most of the ones that are getting that information are already being told when their scheduled time and date is, the way it is supposed to work is exactly how you're stating.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Now, mine mm-hmm. it tells me Walmart, and you did not even mention Walmart.
Yes, I'm sorry. There is also Walmart that did receive some vaccines, and it should say the Walmart on Rinconada.
No, mine is Loman. This is on the site. This is on the DOH site.
And do you have an appointment set at the Walmart on Loman?
I do.
And you're going to go, right?
I will be going over. Actually, I will go over before that appointment. The appointment is Tuesday. I'm going to go over on Monday and make sure that there wasn't some glitch in the online automated system, because I'm the only one I know that has gotten this. So,
well, I wouldn't assume that there's something wrong. But definitely let us know how you do.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah,
one other thing that she can do is she can call the pharmacy at the Walmart or Lumen to verify that they did receive the vaccines, because that is news to me, but it's great news.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And we have Jerry holding on the line next. Welcome to Voice of the Public. Good afternoon, Jerry.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
So I've got a question for you. I'm an employee with GISD at the school district.
Gadsden?
Yes, uh-huh. And most of the people in physical plant had registered for the shot. And recently we were told that we were put on the back of the line because they had needed to immunize the community before us. And I kind of wanted to get some feedback on that, if that's true, or why us being working for a school district, being on the front lines, as you can say, why we would be put on the back burner.
When are you planning on going back to school for in-person learning?
Well, we've been going back to school. I mean, we've been working. I work with the physical plant department.
I see.
Which is your custodians, electricians, plumbers. I'm a locksmith, you know. So, and then on the 8th, the kids are scheduled to go back supposedly. But I'm asking, my question is, what criteria they use to justify us not being classified as essential workers, or why we got put on the back burner, if that's the case?
All right. Thanks for the question.
Thank you, sir. And thank you for all the work that you've been doing for our kids in your community as well. One of the things that they did talk about with our partners with the DOH is that of the categories of who is able to receive. And we are trying to do healthcare workers. That was 1A. They're moving on to the 1B, and we were seeing that's the 75 and older, and those with chronic conditions that are at a severe risk of serious complications from COVID. And then under that, we are having our essential workers. And obviously, I also feel teachers are part of that. There's a lot of those under that category. However, we are not at a point right now to be able to vaccinate everybody at the same time. So it is a process. At the local level, we are still under state guidance on how to proceed with that.
Registered under the New Mexico health.org. Well, I met three of the categories, you know, being working for the school district, my age, and being an essential worker.
Mm-hmm. And they are working, you know, as fast as they can with as many doses that we have in our communities to get those different people. And so please stay registered. And as we work along, hopefully we'll get you in soon.
In other words, there's not really, I know there was some confusion. Initially, it looks like we were going to put teachers, kind of bump up the priority for our educators, and then, well, maybe not. And then the announcement from the governor that schools could return to in-person learning as soon as February 8th. Las Cruces Public Schools looks like the 22nd is the target date. And I know that there's some pretty serious efforts underway to start getting our educators their vaccines. So it's just such a quick changing process along the way. How did the Las Cruces Vaccine Task Force form? Who makes up the task force, and what are its goals? Let's start with you, Mr. Enriquez, on that question.
Okay, thank you, Casey. It originated with our mayor. Our mayor did a resolution with City Council to form a vaccine task force that's going to be comprised of leaders in the community, basically to implement resources and mechanisms of support in order to get as many people in our community vaccinated. And Councillor Stuvey is, and along with Councillor Gandara and Councillor Flores are going to be on that task force. Councillor Stuvey will be chairing that, and I'll be assisting, but we will get leaders in the community and start forming this task force, as I said, to implement and get different ways of getting ideas, thoughts, resources, support, personnel, equipment, funding, whatever we can do to get as many people vaccinated.
Councillor Abetha Stuvey, what would you say is your biggest challenge for ahead of the task force at this point?
I believe that we, and I'm very proud of all the work that's been done with our community partners, even before this task force has officially started. We'll have our first meeting next Wednesday at 3 o'clock. But we need to make sure that we are maximizing our resources and really communicating in a very collaborative manner. We have stretched resources for everything from this pandemic. I think we've seen that we need to really work in that collaborative community response. And this vaccine task force is designed to bring in our community partners and look at all those logistical aspects of this task and maximize those resources for the betterment of the community.
Let's get to the phone, 575-646-2212. The telephone number to call if you have a question for the members of the Las Cruces City Vaccine Task Force, District 2 Councillor Tessa Abetha Stuvey and Assistant City Manager Eric Enriquez. Veronica, you've been holding patiently. Thank you so much for calling. Welcome to Voice of the Public. Hi, Veronica. We're not hearing you too clearly there.
Oh, I'm here. Okay.
That's better. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Just a quick question. The boosters, those vaccines that have a booster, it's the same vaccine, just a smaller amount that is being injected, or a weaker part of the vaccine? I just would like to know that answer.
What is the second dose? Is that basically your question?
As far as the strength goes, is it a weaker dose? Is it just a smaller portion of the full dose? What is the second dose about?
Can either of you answer that question?
And once again, I am not a medical professional. From the research that I've seen, there's no indicator that it is a smaller amount. It is just a second shot of the first. But you need the two to really achieve that immunization amount. And so to reach that percentage, you need both shots to reach that high. You'll get a certain percentage off of the first shot. And then once you get that second shot, you'll reach that percentage.
Okay, and that second shot then is just a percentage of what we got the first time?
Every indication is that it's pretty much the same shot you got the first time.
Okay, dose-wise and everything. Oh, okay, all righty. Thank you.
Thank you. 575-646-2212 is the telephone number to call. In some communities, even just down the road in El Paso, there was a story that came out that said that they're actually kind of putting people on hold for getting their second dose. And this has been a conversation that we've seen happen, you know, around the country. And some folks were talking about whether it was a worthwhile strategy to say, well, let's just give everybody a first dose and then wait for those second doses to roll around. Is there any discussion of that being a strategy here locally? And specifically, I guess it would be a statewide strategy, but it could vary from community to community, right?
Very much so. Mr. Enriquez, did you want to go first? Thanks. That is part of the questions I think that we'll be looking at with the task force as well. At this point in time, every indicator has said that as a state that we are looking at making sure everybody receives both doses as a community. But those little nuances with different communities and looking to see what strategy is something that we're going to have to look at. And though this task force is directed with Las Cruces, with our city council, we are also going to make sure that we are being good stewards of our county in full and making sure that we're taking care of our every places like our colonias and different areas of the state, because we know that we have so much interaction together.
We heard a reference, I believe it was Matt who talked about them beginning in-home vaccinations in Las Cruces, and that was the first that I had heard of that. Mr. Enriquez, was that something that you were as of yet aware of?
I think there's been a few. It's been kind of experimental to see how we can get to those individuals. I know that we are constantly working on plans, as Councillor Stube mentioned. Even prior to trying to create this task force, we have worked with the Office of Emergency, with the hospitals, with the county assisted livings, the fire departments, police, everyone else, to create a partnership with the Department of Health in order to reach out to vulnerable populations. And so these are some discussions that have been going on. The city has senior programs, Meals on Wheels. The fire department has a mobile integrated health program that goes out and does some homebound work. And we're just looking to how we can best piggyback off that and get to those vulnerable populations. So those are in the discussions. And I just want to add on the further question is that we have already gone through a lot of the 1A that we're now in the 1B category. And the 1A healthcare providers and first responders have all gotten their first dosage and second dosage. So that seemed to go pretty smooth. But as the groups continue to grow, those will be the challenges on the second dosage.
And we have a caller waiting with a question. Deborah, welcome to Voice of the Public. Good afternoon. Hi, are you with us?
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
I have a question.
Right, go ahead.
Okay. My concern is that I got the COVID shot, the Pfizer, and I'm getting the booster February 10th. And I would think that with this African variant, the South African variant, we wouldn't be surprised if at some point down the road there might be another booster. So I would have had three shots of this. An NIH National Institute of Health study said that adults in the U.S. over the age of 65 that had five consecutive flu vaccines have a 10% higher risk of Alzheimer's because of the adjuvants that they utilize. And I would like to know if there's something like that. I know it's a whole different, it's mRNA, a whole different technology. I want to know if there's something like this as these booster shots come down the pike that I should be concerned about.
Well, I'm not sure if that's necessarily going to be a question that either Councillor Beta Stuvi or Mr. Enriquez could answer, what would you have to say?
Well, I am not an epidemiologist or a medical professional, but what we do know is that this is a novel virus, and all the information that we are gathering from this is evolving and changing, and the same will happen with the vaccinations as well and the studies that come out. I'm very happy to see this vaccine approved by the CDC and for its safety, for its efficacy. And, you know, later on, we are going to have to look at what those long-term implications of for people who have COVID, because this is not just an item that has a larger mortality rate, but it is also a mass disabling as well too. So we're going to see a lot of people with lung problems. There's more knowledge coming out about heart issues, and that risk for the COVID is so long, and we really don't know what that final risk will be for our communities and if it's going to be a generational thing.
Well, this was a risk not from COVID. This was a, or the flu. This was a risk from the adjuvants utilized in the vaccine.
I think we would need
causing people to get Alzheimer's, 10% higher risk rate because of the adjuvants that they were utilizing in the flu vaccine.
And you're talking about and forgive me, but you know the folks that have, that are on with us right now, you know, wouldn't have probably the science in front of them to be able to tell you what we can expect from the COVID vaccine. It's just not information that we're going to have, that anybody really is going to have available to us.
And if you do have questions, contact your primary care provider and really go over all the questions that you might have, challenges, your medical history, and really work through that and have those conversations with your healthcare providers so that when you go in and you get this shot, you can feel very secure and confident with the choices that you're making.
Well, I did that with him, and he knew less than I did, and it's pretty much a crapshoot, and we feel like guinea pigs, but I would rather feel a guinea pig with a vaccine than with COVID. And to that end, I am scheduled to get my booster shot in February. Again, my concern was over time. It looks like you're going to get a couple more boosters, and worrying about what that might entail long run. But you're right. We just don't know yet.
Well, thank you. And congratulations on being able to get that second booster as well.
Thank you.
Let's talk about what kind of doses we're looking at being available in Las Cruces. You said that vaccinations are happening. And so let's go back to the basics, kind of the nuts and bolts. Vaccinations are happening at a few sites around Las Cruces. We've got the convention center and MSU. It looks like now maybe a couple of Walmarts. Are there talks of opening up any additional locations for vaccines along the way?
Thank you. I know our hospitals have also been working with their special populations, obviously medical professionals, getting them in. And as we move on, I believe we're going to see a growing number of options available to get this vaccination. Our pharmacies, like at the Walmart, are really helpful and allow people within their own network and neighborhoods to be able to walk to a place to get a vaccine. And then we at the task force will be looking at those special populations, again, high at-risk populations, and seeing what we need to do to be adaptable to make sure that they have those equitable opportunities for this vaccination. And so this whole process is going to be one where we need to look at what the challenges are. And we may not know that full scope quite yet, but once we do, then we adapt and figure out creative solutions to make sure that everybody has these opportunities.
Mr. Enriquez, can you say at this point, have we gotten more of one or the other, Pfizer or Moderna? And has there been any sense of which one is preferable in terms of, we know that Moderna is easier to store. Are we getting more of one or the other?
That's what I would say is the common thing or the main thing is that the Moderna is easier to store and easier to has a longer, as we would say, a shelf life. The Pfizer, I think, is what we've received more of. It arrived early and continues to arrive. So we've seen more of that. I believe the Walmarts, that's what they're receiving is a Moderna because they don't have the storage, refrigeration storage capabilities. It is going better. I would tell you that lessons learned when the testing started with the COVID, there was some bottlenecks as far as what I look back, and especially with the vaccine now, is there's two criteria, the delivery of the vaccine to Las Cruces and then the distribution. So what we'll have here with the vaccine task force is putting the resources to how we can distribute. But we're limited the delivery. As soon as we get that flow of delivery coming in, we're better prepared with the distribution. As test sites early on with the COVID took place, is the same thing. So lessons learned, the task force is being implemented, and that's one of the reasons so that we can distribute once we get the delivery.
We just have a few minutes left. 575-646-2212 is the number to call. If you have a question for District 2 City Councilor Tessa Abeta-Stuvi or Assistant City Manager Eric Enriquez, we've got just a few minutes left with them. And thank you for spending this hour with us. There's so many questions and still so many unknowns regarding, you know, COVID itself and the long-term effects and the vaccines. And we're hearing more about additional vaccines coming soon. And we're also hearing more about these additional strains of the virus that we don't know yet if the vaccines are going to be as effective against. So it's a lot to wade through, and we understand that. But we want to make sure that you get registered at vaccinenm.org. If you need help and would like to call 855-600-3453, you're instructed to press 0 and then 4 in order to get help with that registration process. Someone wrote a question in advance and asked this, and I'll see if you can answer it for them. If I've been out of town, will I be able to get the vaccine? Is there any kind of hold period for if you have just come back into the state from out-of-state travel?
I am not aware of any challenges with that. Mr. Enriquez?
Yes, thank you. No, there are no holds or restrictions on that. The number one thing is to get registered, and then you get your scheduled appointment. And once that appointment is there, if you're in town and available to receive it, you should be able to get the vaccine.
And we've already heard from callers who have registered through the state and then will be able to go to a local, say, the Walmart pharmacy to get their vaccine. And that was kind of along the lines of this next question, and maybe that caller even answered it for us. But the question was, are local pharmacies going to get the vaccine? If I register with one of those pharmacies, will I be kicked off the state list? And it seems like if you go through the state, they'll actually funnel you down to any pharmacy that has an available slot for you. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, and I believe it's very important for everybody to make sure that they're going to that state site to register. And that's making sure that everybody gets that opportunity. And like they explained earlier, that it is a randomized selection process once you get registered, but they are trying to hit those set certain categories.
Mr. Enriquez, is there any kind of timeline that's kind of generally accepted in terms of when we might be able to have everyone who wanted to get a vaccine be able to get one? Do we have any kind of timeline that we could look forward to at this point?
It's very difficult to say. I mean, we would hope that receiving the vaccine with the capabilities and the sites we have, we would hope that by the fall that we could have everybody vaccinated, you know, up to 85-90% of all of Doñana County, if we were able to get all the vaccines that we needed. But there is going to be limitations, and so to put an actual time frame on it is very difficult.
We heard earlier, too, that this is a huge volunteer effort that's underway in terms of getting people vaccinated, with some 75 volunteers per location. So we want to be able to take a moment to say thank you to all of those folks who have volunteered. And are you aware of a way that if people want to put their name on that list as a volunteer, is there a way that they can do that?
Thank you to all the volunteers. This pandemic, I think, has been able to showcase in a lot of ways the best of our community and everyone helping each other. I've really been proud of the response that a lot of our community has showed for caring one another and then helping out now with the vaccinations. As far as signing up, I don't have the information right now with that, Mr. Enriquez. If you don't either, then I would suggest calling the Department of Health and letting them know of your want to volunteer.
All right.
Casey, I can also add to that, like I said, we partnered up early on to have some kind of incident command structure with the Department of Health and the Office of Emergency, where their number is 575 647-7900. And actually, through the system in place, they do have a volunteer coordinator so that that way we can list volunteers. Again, going back to lessons learned last year, a year and a half ago when we had the asylum refugees, those were some of the things that were implemented, and we're using some of those things to coordinate the volunteers, because this community has a lot of people that come together. I'm so proud of the city of Las Cruces and all the volunteers that come out and help. And we understand this is a pandemic and there's a risk involved, but we still get a lot of people volunteering. So 575-647-7900, they have a volunteer coordinator that can sign you up.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. And with the minute we have left, I just want to give you an opportunity, Councillor Abaitha Stuvey, to talk about something that was on your mind before we actually went on the air today. And that was the fact that we can't yet let our guard down.
Yes, thank you. As we are navigating this pandemic, it's still really important to make note that masking is so important, especially when we are around other people, keeping up with our hygiene, hand hygiene, and if can, social distancing. Not everybody has the opportunity yet to be vaccinated. We still have very high risk communities out and about. And by wearing that mask, by showing those things, you're protecting not only your family, but others that may desperately need it. And our community needs that.
Thank you both for joining us for Voice of the Public this afternoon. We appreciate your time. Leora Zeitlin is coming up next after NPR News with Intermezzo by Request.